Our scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You may be seated.
Well, welcome. Welcome to High Falls Covenant and to our series, Hot Topics for Cold Days. This is week two of our series dealing with truth. And I'm calling truth a hot topic because if you want to get somebody hot and bothered these days, just start talking about absolute truth as it applies to morality and religion. Pontius Pilate once asked Jesus, "What is truth?" Over 2,000 years later, a lot of people in our culture are asking the same question. Only they're asking in ways like, is there such a thing as absolute truth? Does it make a difference what we believe about truth? And the reason that so many of these people don't believe in absolute truth is that they've been influenced by a belief system called relativism. We talked about that last week. Now, relativism is a fancy word that just means truth is relative. And by that, I mean there's no such thing as absolute truth. Truth is evolving, it's developing, it's changing. What used to be true years ago may not be true today. What may be true for you may not be true for me. So these are ideas that are becoming more and more prevalent. They came out of the 60s, but they decided not to stay in the 60s, and that's my concern. I'm seeing them influencing people today, and I'm seeing them influencing God's people today. For example, one of the things that I do with the Northwest Conference of the Covenant Church is I serve on comms, the Committee on Ministerial Standing. As many of you know, Pastor Darren was also part of that. This committee does its best to make sure that all of the covenant pastors from this conference seeking a ministerial license or seeking to be ordained are solid when it comes to their beliefs about the Bible, about the atonement, which is Jesus' death on the cross for us, and God's plan for human sexuality and marriage, among other important topics. And from these interviews, I can tell you that we have some wonderful pastors in our conference who are strong in the Word, strong in the pulpit, and strong in their biblical beliefs. However, in recent years, I've had a growing concern with a few of our younger pastors who are showing signs of being influenced by the ideas of our culture, that truth is relative, that God's truth could be evolving and changing, causing them to have a compromised view of Scripture and an unbiblical view of human sexuality and marriage. Now, make no mistake about it, that these false beliefs are challenged and corrected if those pastors are going to be able to serve in the covenant. However, I am concerned for them personally and for any people that they may influence in the future. And there's another reason why I'm talking about truth. If relativism only dealt with this life, that'd be bad enough. But when it impacts where you will spend eternity, that's a hot topic. So today we're asking the question, does it make a difference what we believe about truth? Does it really matter what you believe as long as it makes you happy? Why don't you pull out your outline and why don't you start filling that in? But let's talk about happiness for a while. I mean, who among us doesn't want to be happy, right? Did you know the Bible talks about happiness? Ecclesiastes 3:12. So I concluded there's nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And why not? We serve a good and loving God. The Bible tells us God has a plan to bless us and to prosper us. God's plan includes a hope and a future. God delights in us. He wants us to experience abundant life. We know that. I love the verse from Psalm 84:11. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. So it would seem that God is very interested in our happiness. Or is he? What I just told you sounds true, feels true. There's a lot of truth in it, but it's not completely true. And that's the problem. Remember last week when I talked about those freeways, those two roads in Michigan coming up from Ohio around Detroit, where they put a lot of work and a lot of plan into those two roads coming around, and they were supposed to meet. That was the idea, but somebody made this little mistake early on, and the roads didn't meet. And it was very awkward, and it didn't accomplish what it wanted to. It really came to a very bad end. It's the same thing with happiness. If we think that all God is interested in is our happiness, we're going to end up very disappointed. We will travel a false road that will take us to a wrong place. So what is true about what I just told you? It is true that God is a good God. It is true that God loves us. It is true that God wants to bless us. And God has a great plan for our lives. But if we take that to mean that God is just interested in our happiness, it will radically change our position with God. When you look at the scriptures, God is God, and we realize that we are here to serve and glorify him. When, like, we come on a Sunday morning and we lift up these songs like we did this morning, we just know that we're here to praise him and thank him and to live for him. But when we believe that the bottom line is that God wants us happy, it reverses our roles. And instead of us serving God, God is serving us. And so one day, when we're not happy, when things in our lives start falling apart, and they will, and they do, and they have, it leaves us with a logical conclusion. If God wants me happy and I'm not, then God failed, which is what many people believe today. I tried religion. I went to church. I tried the God thing, but it didn't make me happy. So either there is no God, or if God is real, he really let me down. Either way, I'm going to forget all about God. That's why it's so important that we get this thing figured out. There are people today turning away from God and missing out on the life that God has for them because they just don't know the truth about happiness. Let's watch this.
So, tell me about this guy you've been seeing.
Oh my goodness, Matt. He is just so perfect. I really think he may be the one. I mean, we've only been dating for a few weeks, but we just really click, and he makes me so happy. And we have so much in common. He likes pizza, and I like pizza. He likes coffee, and I love coffee. I think this means we're soulmates. And in my checklist of things that I want in a future spouse, he meets all of them but one. I mean, it's okay that he's not a Christian, right? I really think I could help him find God. He has a lot of potential. I would kind of be like a missionary, you know, teaming up with God to save the lost. And God won't mind me dating him because, after all, God said that he wants me to be happy, right?
God said what?
So are you awake? God said what? This is what God did say. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So you need to know how the pursuit of happiness can lead down a very slippery and dangerous slope of beliefs. Without a belief in absolute truth, the Bible, truth is defined by whatever makes me happy, and that means truth is determined by what I feel, what it appears to me. It has to do with my feelings and my emotions, and that is a very slippery slope. This is huge ramification. It leads me to believe that any kind of discomfort, any kind of delay, any kind of risk, any kind of inconveniences and obstacles can't possibly be God's will because they don't make me happy. And God wants me happy. What you need to know is that God doesn't want you to pursue happiness when it causes you to do something wrong or unwise. When it causes you to do something wrong or unwise. Okay, it's just like a toddler that's playing out on the front lawn, and they see the park on the other side of the busy street that's got all the great equipment and playground stuff, and they know that they're just on the front lawn. They need to be there now to be happy. And so as the parent says, "Yes, sweetheart, we'll be there soon. I just have a few other things I have to do. We'll head over there in about an hour." No. That's not good enough. So they make their escape and they take off across the street, and you are upset. Why? Because you don't want them happy? No, because you don't want them hurt. And when we believe happiness is the bottom line, it gives us permission to do things that would otherwise be wrong. For example, you're shopping online, and you discover something that you absolutely need to make you happy. You didn't know you needed it until you saw it, but now you are in debt way over your head. You bought things that you didn't need with money you didn't have to impress people that you didn't even like, and now you don't like the results. Or it could be that you're dating somebody, and you know what the Bible says about not having sex until you're married, but you're sure that God will understand. Besides, everyone else is doing it. I mean, he knows that you have needs, and besides, it'll make you happy. So don't misunderstand me. I believe with all my heart that God does delight when we enjoy things within his will. But when we step out of his will in pursuit of happiness, there's a problem. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:15, "But just as he who called you is happy, so be happy in all you do." Is that what it says? Nope. We sang about it this morning, actually. It says, "Just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all that you do." You see, God wants holiness over happiness every time, because holiness means health and wholeness. Happiness comes and goes. Character lasts forever. God doesn't want you to be focused on happiness at that point. And God doesn't want you pursuing happiness when it's only based on things in this world. The happiness formula is this: better possessions plus peaceful circumstances plus thrilling experiences plus the right relationships plus the perfect appearance equals happiness. But the Bible gives us another perspective. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Now, it's not that God won't bless us with good things. I'm sure we could take a break in the action and we could pass the mic around and say, what are three things that you're thankful for? And we could come up with a list of long things how God has blessed us. And he doesn't mind you having nice things. But he doesn't want nice things having you. When you believe that they will provide happiness, then you've settled for a counterfeit. God's focus for your life and my life is not happiness. He wants something much better for you. God wants you blessed. He wants you blessed. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. The word blessed means supremely blessed, more than happy. You see, happiness is based on outward circumstances and happenings. But there's a lot of stuff that happens to you in life. And a lot of that's not good. Like earthquakes and tornadoes and sickness and accidents. But blessings are based on more than happenings. Blessings come from the Lord. They are good and they are good for you. The truth is that life is not always happy. Life can be tough. And if you think that you have to be happy all the time in this often hard and difficult world, you are in for serious disappointment. That's why Jesus said, blessed are you who mourn, for you will be comforted. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And when it comes to truth, there's something else we also hear. Secondly, does it really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere? As long as you're sincere. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 16, we have the story of two Christ followers, Paul and Silas. They're in prison. And they're in prison over this topic of truth. They were in the town of Philippi. And when they brought up the truths about Jesus, the people of another religion became very intolerant and put them in jail. About midnight, you know the story, God sent an earthquake, miraculously opened up the prison doors, the chains, the shackles, fell off all the prisoners, and the jailer panicked, and for good reason. He knew that whatever the cause was, if the prisoners left, his life would be forfeit. But even though the prisoners could have run away, no one left, not even one. And when the jailer discovered that, he had a religious experience. He brought Paul and Silas out of the prison and he asked them one of the most important questions that you can ever ask. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Good question. And the answer to that question depends on who you ask. For example, you can ask the Pope and hear one answer. You can ask the Dalai Lama and get a very different answer. You could ask Oprah Winfrey and hear a totally different answer. Or you can ask Franklin Graham and he'd be glad to tell you his answer. You can hear a lot of different opinions because there are a lot of different beliefs about what it takes to be saved, about what it takes to go to heaven. And because people today don't necessarily embrace absolute truth when it comes to religion and eternal issues, Here is what you're often going to hear. It doesn't really matter what you believe, just as long as you're sincere. There are a lot of sincere people who sincerely believe it really doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you sincerely believe it. In other words, you just have to be sincere. However, just because you're sincere doesn't make what you believe true. The statement, just as long as you're sincere, if you think about it, doesn't really make sense. I mean, anyone who says this hasn't really given much thought to what they're saying. For example, any visit to a mental hospital will prove this to be false. The obvious response to this is that someone can be very sincere in what they believe, and they can be sincerely wrong. It happens all the time. On a simplistic level, anytime someone legitimately, they write a check with a sincere belief that they have funds to cover it, and in reality, maybe there isn't enough money in their account, the check bounces. Now, that happens regardless of how sure or how sincere they were in their belief that their checking account had that much money. Or think of it this way. I bet Adolf Hitler was sincere in his belief that it was beneficial to society, acceptable, and even commendable to kill 6 million Jews. Sincerity proves to be completely and woefully inadequate to justify anyone's belief about anything. Sincere people can be sincerely wrong. So let me ask you a question today. Let's get practical. How many of you here today are willing to have a sincere but incompetent brain surgeon operate on you? Show of hands? No? So why would you agree with the statement, as long as you're sincere, it doesn't really matter what you believe, and apply that to spiritual issues, eternal life issues? I mean, sincerity does not make something true or right, and yet there are folks who believe that you can follow whatever world religion you want and go to heaven when you die. They'll tell you all world religions are basically the same and mostly true. Now, I will agree that there is truth in many of the world religions because all truth is God's truth. But all world religions are not the same. And they can't all be true. World religions don't claim to be the same, nor do they claim to even believe the same thing. We're going to talk about some of that next week. Now, thirdly, and finally, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you don't hurt anyone. Okay? As long as you don't hurt anyone. Now, where does this idea come from? Well, take a look at the values in our culture. If you think about not that many years ago, the key important value in our culture was justice. God is a just God. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You do something wrong, you have to pay. The Ten Commandments. We have an entire judicial system built on the foundation of the Ten Commandments. But today's most important value? Tolerance. Tolerance. Now, when I was growing up, tolerance meant putting up with someone or something that you don't really like. For example, how many people here really like cats? Go ahead. Really love cats. Okay. Okay, how many dog people do we have? How many people really like dogs? Okay. See, we got both. Now, if you ask me, you don't own a cat. Cat owns you. So I like dogs, but not cats. However, if you like cats, and maybe even own a cat, I will tolerate your cat. But maybe you don't like dogs. So hopefully you will tolerate my dog. That's a traditional definition of tolerance. But today there's a whole new view of tolerance, a new definition that basically says that because all beliefs, all values, and all lifestyles are equal, we should be open to all and we should accept all. It doesn't matter what you believe, do. It doesn't matter how you live, as long as you don't hurt anyone. It's based on tolerance. I think it's interesting that Paul, the apostle, wrote about our times. This was read earlier by Vaughn. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Notice it says they have itching ears. Literally, it means having the hearing tickled. We live in a culture of people with ticklish ears. And ticklish ears love to hear what they want to hear. They love to be told that they can do whatever they want. So let's look at three common myths about us that come out of all of this. The first myth is this. We are basically good. We are basically good. We're not axe murderers. We're not serial killers. And well, we're not as bad as our neighbor, our coworker, our classmate, or maybe even the person next to you. When we compare ourselves with other people, basically we're not so bad. A second common myth is no one has a right to force their values on us. Who are they to judge us? It's your life. It's my life. We can do whatever we want. It's none of their business how we live. And when we accept myth number one and myth number two, we can easily end up with myth number three. We can decide for ourselves, which is exactly where many people are living today. You may be one of them. For example, you've been married for 18 years, you have 3 kids, and you think, you're just not making me happy. I know I promised at our wedding for better or for worse, but let's be honest. I've gotten better, you've gotten worse. But isn't that hurting somebody? Maybe you decide to cheat God. I know we'd never call it that, but really, what's all that tithe thing they're always talking about? I mean, who really said bring God 10% of your income anyway? If I don't tithe, it's not hurting anyone. Trust me, that money is helping me a whole lot more. I'll decide for myself. So as long as you don't hurt anyone, does it really matter how you choose to live? That's the argument. But when you don't live by God's truth, there are consequences. Let me give you a little background. I did some research on this slogan, it can't be wrong if it doesn't hurt anyone. Well, that first became popular as a rationalization for sex outside of marriage. That was 35 years ago. Now, after tens of millions of abortions, divorces, fatherless children, sterilization-inducing diseases, and broken hearts, perhaps it's time to reconsider the meaning of hurt. And the one you hurt the most is you. When you don't live by the truth in God's word, there are consequences. There are a lot of people who do get hurt. So today we need to understand two very important truths about us. The first truth is this. We are basically bad. So I want to welcome you to High Falls Covenant Church, where we want to make you feel good about yourself. Yeah, we're not basically good. See, we don't like to hear that, but it's true. You've just got to understand that you're a bad person and I'm a bad person. In fact, the Bible calls us sinners. All have sinned and fallen short. Oh, let me go back to Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. So God, the Creator, says that we're not basically good. God says that we are sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not just the pedophile, not just the bank robber or the tax evader or even the terrorist or the murderer. In God's eyes, we are all equally guilty of sin. And if you're thinking, he's got to be talking about somebody else, couldn't be talking about me. The Bible says if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The truth is we are sinners in desperate need of a Savior. And just because we go to church, we grew up around the church, doesn't mean that we're saved. Sitting in a church doesn't make you any more of a Christian than sitting in a garage makes you a car. Okay? That's why the Bible says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Kind of reminds me of my grill at home. You see, I didn't get to cleaning my grill this last fall. Or was it the fall before then? Could have been the fall of 2017. You see, personally, I think that a little grease and charcoal add to the flavor, don't you? But I happen to know that task is on my honey-do list for this coming spring. Well, imagine the condition my cleaning rags will be in when I tackle, after I tackle this job. I mean, they're going to be thrown out. That, my friends, is the condition of your heart and mine without Jesus. Not basically a good person, a filthy rag. And truthfully, God would be justified in throwing us all into the trash. But thank God he has not done that. The second truth is this. We can only be made good by forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ. We can only be made good by forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, that is an awesome truth. What a wonderful promise. Forever we can be different through Christ. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That name, of course, is Jesus. In other words, we can't save ourselves. We can try to be good, but we can never be good enough to save ourselves or please God or go to heaven. Only Jesus can do that. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He, Jesus, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you come to Jesus today, the good news is He will forgive you for everything bad you have ever done. I don't care how far back you go. I don't know if you think Jesus has forgiven some of your sins, but there was that one. No, He says all can be forgiven and cleansed. He will cleanse you completely, just as if you had never sinned. Isaiah 1:18, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And if anybody should understand snow, it's you folks, right? I mean, just think about that. You drive around today, there's a lot of dirty snow out there, right? But if you were to have a snowstorm, you got 5-6 inches coming in, that next morning when the snowstorm's done and that sun is just shining off the sparkling white snow, that's an image. That's an image of what Jesus can do for us. And so when you call on the name of Jesus, you can become a new creation. The old is gone. You are no longer like my greasy, filthy grill rag. You're as white as snow. So let's land this plane. Does it really matter what you believe about truth? Of course it does. Nothing could be more important. What you believe determines how you live, how you behave. That's why Jesus came to testify to the truth, because truth has to do with how we live our lives now and where we will live our lives for eternity. The truth is that life is not always happy. Life can be just plain hard. The truth is that it's good to be sincere, but we can all be sincerely wrong. And the truth is you can never live your life without hurting others or hurting yourself. That is why there's absolute truth. There is a way, there is a truth, and there is a life. And his name is Jesus. Don't settle for anything less. Don't settle for anything else. Don't settle for anything false. Would you pray with me? God, may we be a people who know the truth, who see the truth, who live the truth, and experience the truth of your Son Jesus, and glorify you in all that we do. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.